Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
My show and tell this morning is something you walked under today. Are you ready for this? Ryan, may I have the show and tell? Did you know you walked under that? I bet you didn't. I bet you weren't even looking up. I bet you were like, I am so excited to be at church. All I want to do is get to the door. No, fair enough. Well, hey, okay. The thing on the screen is a blossom on a fruit tree just north of the old sanctuary, adjacent to that sidewalk. So if you come in the old sanctuary door, you walk right past that tree that looks kind of sorry and dilapidated because it got hit with hail a few weeks ago. But it's blossoming right now in September. Now, I'm no arborist, but I know that that's not supposed to happen. And so I noticed this tree out my study window because it's right there. And this tree is full of blossoms in the spring. Beautiful, covered in all of these white blossoms. And then the blossoms fall off and the leaves grow in and so forth, right? So I had to ask the experts, why is my tree blooming in September? And they said, it's because the tree is stressed out. And I'm like, tell me about it, tree. And so this tree was too dry all summer, right? It didn't rain enough all summer. And now it has rained. And then it got pounded with hail in the last month. And so those leaves... There's a reason that tree is not all full of big, healthy green leaves. And so I've got this flower sitting out there on this tree. There's about a dozen of them. And this flower is not going to help the tree next year, right? Because you know, like, trees have flowers, and then the bees come and they pollinate the flowers, and then the flower turns into a fruit, an apple or something. It's a crab apple, I think. And that's important for the tree to stay healthy. Well, this flower is not going to help. It's not going to hurt too much because it's going to have other flowers that'll come out in the spring. But this is just like a reminder of how weird and strange the weather has been this year, right? Yes, correct answer. Flowers on a tree in the spring, they feel right. They feel like the way it's supposed to be because it's like new life after a winter when everything looked like it was dead. But like flowers in the fall seem like this false hope, right? Like we're about to have spring, but it's September. That would be weird. It's football season, right? Okay, so we are talking about hope this month. So this is like the worst show and tell ever because this is like false hope and that's not what we want to talk about. But I want to be clear that, like, that's a thing that sometimes we have, right? Sometimes we're like, I'm going to hope that everything's just going to get better. And that's not actually how hope works. Hope is about making the world a better place, even when the world seems pretty bad, which sometimes it can, right? So hope is something that matters when times are bad because it lets us think, hey, the world can get better. But hope can actually be really important in good times, too. It just looks different. When times are good, hope is about getting ready for what might happen later on. If we know things might get bad, but we have a chance right now to make things better, even when things get bad. And that's where we are in today's Bible story. So, this is going to continue the story of Joseph. We met Joseph last week. You were very impressed with him, as I recall. And Joseph is going to teach us what hope looks like when times are good. So listen for that kind of complicated idea in what Gene is going to read for us.
Let us pray. God of mercy, your promises are always sure. Through your Holy Spirit, speak your eternal word to us. Then let us respond to your gracious promises with lives of hope and faithfulness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 41, verses 14 to 36, pages 46 to 47 in the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. Then Pharaoh said for Joseph, and he sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that you, when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile, and seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Then seven other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly, and thin. Never have I seen such ugly ones in all the land of Egypt. The thin and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. But when they'd eaten them, no one would have known that they had done so, for they were still as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I fell asleep a second time, and I saw in my dream seven ears of grain, full and good, growing on one stalk, and seven ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouting after them. And the thin ears swallowed up, the seven good ears. But when I told it to the magicians, there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. There are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what is he about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all of the land of Egypt. All after them there will arise 7 years of famine. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dreams means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will bring it shortly about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise and send him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities and let them keep it. That food should be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. This is the word of the Lord.
This Bible story that Jean read for us this morning is about to become a migration story, but you didn't need me to tell you that. You certainly didn't need me to bring that up today, because you already know what to think about migration stories. You already know, for instance, that shuffling immigrants around the country in order to make a political point is a vile stunt, and to our shame, it is probably legal. You already know that the United States system for receiving and adjudicating and controlling entry of immigrants coming into this country is profoundly broken, and profoundly broken in a way that unevenly burdens communities in various parts of the country. You already know that. And you already know that the legal system surrounding immigration is desperately ill-equipped to offer due process to which those arriving in this country are entitled. You already know that as well. And you know that the political and economic and environmental forces that drive immigration at the level that immigration happens, that those forces are debate, and that those forces drive immigration to a level that is far beyond what the United States has lately accepted in terms of numbers of immigrants coming into the country. And you know that desperate people will come to the United States by hook or by crook anyway. And you know that as drought and floods and heat and sea level rise continue to spread around the world, that those pressures are only going to grow more intense. You know all those things. And I hope that you know that Presbyterians and our mission partners are at work addressing the needs of migrants and refugees in the United States and around the world. And I will say more about a little bit of that work in just a minute. But like I said, the Bible is about to become a migration story. And Joseph just told us how. So remember, Joseph is in Egypt because his brothers were jealous of him. And so his brothers faked Joseph's death and sold him into slavery, and it has gotten worse and better for Joseph in the chapters since then. See, Joseph became so well respected for his wise management and his ability to interpret dreams that he got put in charge of first the household into which he had been sold, and then into the prison that he had been thrown into. Sorry, I forgot to tell you, Joseph got thrown into prison unjustly and unfairly. That's the bad part of the story. But Joseph also made that reputation of being able to interpret dreams. We heard his dreams last week. He's still in the dream business. So Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, you have to say it like that, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had this disturbing pair of dreams. And he tells everyone about these dreams, and no one can understand them or make sense of them until they call Joseph in. And Joseph says, well, the deal is there's going to be 7 years of famine. And before that, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. Now, a lot of migration stories start with famine. That's something you should know. They start with drought or blight or crop failure. They start with wars and political violence that are often themselves rooted in shortage and scarcity. That scarcity can be rooted in the climate or in local history or in histories of colonization, whether at gunpoint or by contract. But we know that scarcity drives instability. And we know that the famine that is coming would destabilize Pharaoh's kingdom, except that Joseph told him about it in advance and suggested that perhaps a good idea might be to put someone smart in charge of Egypt. I don't think Pharaoh was listening quite fast enough to understand that, but it works. Pharaoh puts someone smart in charge of Egypt. His name is going to be Joseph. And under Joseph's direction, Egypt stockpiles food in these 7 years of plenty that are about to happen. Egypt stockpiles that food and lives. And it works so well that the next thing that happens is that Joseph's brothers, you remember them, they show up to buy food. So it works so well, this plan to put Joseph in charge of Egypt because he is wise and discerning. It works so well that the very next thing that happens is that Joseph's brothers, the ones who sold him into slavery in Egypt, they show up to buy food. And they don't recognize Joseph, but he recognizes them. And he insists that they stay. And we'll have more about their story next week. But that is how this story today becomes a migration story. And that's how this story today becomes a story of hope. It becomes a story of hope because Joseph tells Pharaoh just how bad things are about to get. You heard that right. It's a story of hope because Joseph tells Pharaoh that things are going to get bad. Hope is not just about assuming that everything's going to be great from here on out. Hope knows that sometimes bad things happen too. And the grace is that God tells Pharaoh about the 7 coming years of famine before the 7 good and bountiful years. And the hope is that Joseph chooses to use those 7 good years to prepare for the 7 bad years that are coming after them. Hope doesn't just hold on to good times. Hope uses the good times to get ready for the times that may come, so that when those bad times come, we are in a position still to make the world a better place. And in a few months, we are going to hear Jesus tell us more or less the same thing. He's going to tell us to rather than storing up treasures on earth, he's going to tell us to store up treasures in heaven. When he talks about heaven in the gospel that we're going to be reading in just a couple of months, Jesus is talking about God's coming kingdom. Remember, we are going to pray in not too long that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so storing up treasures in heaven is really the same thing that Joseph is telling Pharaoh to do. It's about using what we have right now to build the future that God intends, whether that's in good times or in bad times. And God intends to bring a future where everyone is fed and loved and at peace. God intends to bring a future where everyone belongs. And when we invest in that future, we are living in hope. Presbyterian mission partners are living in hope by serving in solidarity with migrants around the world. And so I have a migrant story for you. This comes from Greece. This is the story of Fatima. She is an Afghan refugee living with two young children. They stayed at the Moria refugee camp until there was a massive fire there a couple of years ago that closed the camp. And so Fatima was living on the streets of Athens with nowhere to turn, she and her two young children. And unknown to her, she fell in with drug dealers, and she was arrested. And her two little ones were sent off to a shelter for unaccompanied children, and Fatima was there in prison, and she may as well have been invisible. But her case was referred to a migrant justice organization named Lesvos Solidarity. Lesvos Solidarity collaborated with human rights lawyers to secure Fatima's release from prison, to provide her with housing close to where her children were being housed, and to help her find employment. And now she is able to support other women who are in vulnerable positions just like she was in. Effie Latsudi is one of the founders of Lesvos Solidarity, which is a PCUSA mission partner. And Effie says, injustice must not become invisible. If refugees are seen as a threat coming to invade your country, people don't see their human face. People are afraid, and ultimately we fear the stranger. Instead, Lesvos Solidarity teaches the church how to cast off anxiety and fear and division and to welcome the stranger as God commands us to do. The Presbyterian Mission Coordinator working in the region of Eastern Europe and the Middle East calls this organization a living example of how we can show love to the stranger and promote dignity among those who flee war and poverty. Helping those who leave war-infested areas is a peacemaking act. Effie Latsudi calls it an act of witness. I call that a witness to hope. Effie says, we need to create connection because what is happening in the United States and in other places is all connected. Sometimes when all we feel is the distance and how small we are, it's hard to feel the connection. But when we become aware, we see that we are not so small and that there are miracles happening everywhere. There are miracles happening everywhere. Miracles because of people of faith and people of hope who choose to work for the world God intended for all. So may it be. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Each year we dedicate the shepherds. These faithful volunteers nurture the relationships that bind us together as the church. In particular, we partner with the pastors in care of the congregation, provide ministry support for births, illnesses, homebound, hospice, and hospitalizations, present a rose at baptism, provide help with funerals, including funeral meals, give Remembering You gifts to shut-ins of the congregation throughout the year, maintain a care list for ongoing attention for those needing care, and send cards to members and church friends on their birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. I invite our shepherds to come forward.
according to the Book of Order, God sends the church by the power of Holy Spirit to announce the good news that Christ Jesus in the world is reconciled to God, to tell all nations and peoples of Christ's call to repentance, faith, and obedience, to proclaim in deed and word that Jesus gave himself to set people free, to offer in Christ's name fullness of life now and forever, to call people everywhere to believe in and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to invite them into the community of faith to worship and serve the triune God.
Knowing that God, through Jesus Christ, calls us into specific acts of discipleship, we recognize the shepherds and our ministry of care and support. Dear friends, we become ambassadors for Christ in bringing the good news message to those in need, to the ill, the infirm, the grieving, to new parents, and to any finding themselves in need of our ministry. May we grow in our understanding of Christ's call to be participants in the joy and celebration of faith in him and to serve as his disciples. Do we accept this task on behalf of the congregation? Do we?
We do.
Will you, the members of Covenant Presbyterian Church, support us as leaders as we undertake this form of discipleship? Will you? Anne McGowan.
We'll try not to fall over. Anne, by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you in Christ's service.
Tom Brown.
Chantel. Tom, by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you to service in Jesus Christ.
Diane Johnson.
Diane, by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you to service in Jesus Christ.
Jean Hassett.
Jean, by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you for service to Jesus Christ.
Sally Patton,
by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you for service to Jesus Christ.
Bob Reese.
Bob, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I anoint you for service to Jesus Christ.
Lee Cox.
Lee, by the power of Holy Spirit, I anoint you for service to Jesus Christ.
In absentia, we anoint Susie Thompson, who couldn't be here today.
Traveling the world doing good, I'm sure. Is this you? Okay. She's so neat, I can't keep track of it. Let us pray. You call us, O God, to specific acts of discipleship, and we today pray for your blessing upon our shepherds. They become our Lord's hands and hearts for this congregation, and along with our prayer, our pastors, visit the sick, care for those unable to regularly worship in our congregation, feed those who hunger, comfort those who grieve, and tend to the lonely. Equip them, O God, in their special discipleship, so Christ's good news is evident, and all may see the glory of life in him. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Each year, the shepherds honor a member of Covenant who has been dedicated to service in the church. Although this person does not seek recognition, the shepherds believe they should be recognized for their selfless work. We give them this traveling lamb that passes to the new recipient each year, as well as this wooden lamb that is theirs to keep for always. We also have a file where we write a note to each recipient each year. Last month, the shepherds met to decide whom we would honor this year. It was a short discussion. We looked through this file to see those who have received it in the past, as we try not to give it to the same person again. And we were surprised that one name was missing, considering all the things that this person has done. We went through the file again, and sure enough, that name was not there. The person we are honoring this year has many years of service to Covenant. These are some of the things they have done. They have been an elder and a lay leader. They have served on the Budget Committee, the Finance Committee, the Mission and Action Committee, and the Property Committee. They have served as chair of the Capital Fund Committee, and that is a big reason for the financial health of our church. They have picked up folks who can't drive and brought them to church. Now, some of you may have been checking these things off in your head. Yes, I've done that. Check, I've done that. But this is where we separate him from the rest of the flock. Yes, he is a him, so that leaves about half of you already. And he will know immediately who he is if he doesn't already. In 2017, he was chair of the pastor nominating committee that brought Reverend Nathan to us. In 2018, he was chair of the Mission Festival, a wonderful event where we raised money for many of our nonprofits. In 2019, he was a primary driver of the Memorial Courtyard. As a side note, he was also the instigator of the wine and cheese party we had in the courtyard last month. And I would say the reason he was on that committee probably was so that he could find a place for the wine and cheese party. In 2020, he was the key proponent of the COVID Relief Fund. And now in 2022, he is chair of our Wildwood Hills Ranch Mission Partnership, as you just saw. So Bob, in receiving this award, it doesn't mean you can quit working. So for all his leadership in all things Covenant, our 2022 Lamb Award honoree is Bob Hiddle.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.